Praise the Lord. Exciting times are taking place here in the ministry. Amen. Well, with that being said, how many are ready to hear a message from the Lord?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I said, how many are ready to hear a message from the Lord? Amen. Come on, let's get excited. So here this morning, I know that a lot of things have been taking place. We heard from the women, and we had a special guest speaker. But also, how many know that every single time, or I can say for myself, when we hear from our very own senior pastor, that God speaks into our lives. Amen. God speaks to us personally and deals with us where we're at, but also a time of refreshment and encouragement. So at this moment, right there where you're at, and also those watching online, just want to make mention, let's be ready with our Bibles, amen, notepads, and let's come here to receive, right? How many came here to hear from the Lord? Isn't that why we came here? To the house of Jesus, amen, to receive from the Lord. So right now, help me welcome up our very own senior pastor as he comes up and shares the word here this morning.
Amen, amen. How's everybody on this beautiful Sunday morning? Amen. I pray that you're blessed and that the Lord speaks to you personally here on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's been a while since I've been behind the pulpit. I mean, we've had so many things going on in these last couple of months, and I forgot if I was the senior pastor of the church still. I haven't been behind the pulpit. I think it's probably like a month and a half or something. It's been a while, so I'm real grateful to once again be in position to deliver God's word here this day. Those viewing in Facebook here this morning, we welcome you. God bless you. And we pray that you be blessed of the word that goes forth this day. And if that's if you're in another state, and if you're locally here in Milwaukee, we would pray that you would be encouraged and come and check us out personally. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. As we get into the word here this morning, I want to speak on a very important topic. All topics spoken about and that come from God's word are important. But this is a topic I want to speak about here on this Sunday morning that everyone deals with. It's one, a topic that you can get better and better at. It's one for a child at the age of one, when a child or earlier or a little bit later starts talking its very first words, that it's an area that we all start off bad in. And it's an area that we can all work in to become good at. And what I want to speak about here this morning is communication. Communication, amen. And the title of this morning's message is Communication Matters. Too many times we feel that it really don't matter what we talk like until someone talks incorrectly to us. And then we see how important communication skills are. And there's just sometimes we believe we can say whatever we want to say. You know, God spoke to me, you know. And it's when we really get a good look at it of what a poor communication skills look like, it's when somebody's speaking to us incorrectly. And they don't even know it. But you know it. I want to speak about being good communicators here this morning and being able to grow as a communicator of the Lord. Amen. As we go to the book of Matthew chapter 12, opening scriptures here this morning, verse 36 and 37. The Bible reads, "And I tell you this," Jesus speaking, "you must give an account on Judgment Day." How many know Judgment Day is right around the corner? Amen? It's not like 2,000 years down the road, but it's right around the corner the way the times and that we're living in are taking place right now. Amen. We could all agree that it's getting messed up in this world that we live in. "And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side, Lord, and that you help me communicate your heart, your word to your people here this day, that they would be able to see through the communication of your word, the preaching of your gospel here this day, what you would want of your sons and daughters, Lord, that they would be able to see through the communication of your word here this day. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. If you were to ask yourself, on average, on the norm, do you think you're a good communicator? Not because you're a Christian or you're in the rehab home or you're a leader or a pastor, but if you had to grade yourself and give up for the good times and the bad times, where would you grade yourself in your communication skills, not only in the good times, because we can all do good and communicate wonderfully in the good times, but how would you grade yourself when the pressure's on, somebody has said something you don't like, you're angry, where would you grade your communication skills? Because we can even say the wrong things in the good times. Where would you grade your communication skills here this day? Because I believe a lot of times we grade ourselves higher than we really are. Or we'll look at someone and say, man, thank God I don't speak like her or like him. They got communication problems. And it's real easy to see it in somebody else's life, but a little tougher to see it in our very own lives. Here in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, the Lord is, it's important what we say. Every word is important in what we say unto the Lord. That on Judgment Day, for every idle word you speak, every word, as soon as we get up to the second we go to sleep at night, unto the Lord, every word we speak is important. Not only for our own lives, but to the many lives that we speak to on a daily basis. Every word we speak is important unto the Lord, whether it's important, unimportant to you or your boss, to the Lord. Every idle word we speak is important. And the Lord's taking notes right now as I am speaking right now in this area of communication and how we carry ourselves in the words we speak. In 37, for those who have done time before or have watched Judge Wapner, the court on TV, the word acquit there, the word acquit, the simple meaning means for to free someone from a criminal charge by a verdict of not guilty. They would say the big court was acquitted, you know, for the crimes that he had against them or she had. You know, at the end of the jury trial, they found them not guilty. They were acquitted, amen, of the charges that they were facing. They were set free. How many know that we've been set free, acquitted by what Jesus did on the cross? He has set us free from the many different types of bondage that go way beyond addiction. But here we come to find out that by what we speak, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Here we come to find out that it's not if you have a felony or a misdemeanor, because what we say is not even, if we speak incorrectly, it's not even a misdemeanor. But in the eyes of God, in the way God sees the way we speak and the choice of words that we use, will either be acquitted or condemned for what we say. So you can say, Pastor, I've never seen a day in the county jail. I've never done time. And you can be guilty here this day by simply the way you communicate to one another. You could be found either not guilty or guilty by God's standards in what we say. So in what we say is very important to the Lord. It matters a lot. What you say will either acquit you, set you free, in other words, or condemn you, punish you for speaking incorrectly. As I was speaking, thinking about communication, I just Googled on my phone real quick, just about communication through media, through texting and TV and all that. So I just, two words, and boom, it gives you all this information. And I wrote down two quotes here off of my smartphone, amen? Speaking about texting, because today texting is a way of communication that's growing stronger and stronger and stronger, where people are no longer even having to speak no more. See, God wants to grade us in what we say, not what we text. God is saying the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. He's not saying the words you text will either acquit you or condemn you. So God is wanting us to speak, to be good speakers, not fast texters. I sometimes get jealous when I see the YouTube going like this, and I'm but when it comes to speaking, texting words really fast will make you look good before a man, before a woman. But what you say, what you communicate, will either make you look good or bad before the Lord. So I'm okay today without being the fastest texter in the church in the city of Milwaukee. I'm okay that I'm a little bit OG, and I still make it happen when I got to send a text. It should take me a little bit longer. So I'd rather pick up the phone and communicate what would take 10 hours, me texting, in 2 minutes with a phone call. Which one of you young adults here this day is one of them fast texters? Some of you females got fingernails 2 inches long, and you still know how to work around the nails and everything and hit that same little button the size of a Tic Tac. Some of you don't even know what a Tic Tac is. That's an old mint. Amen? And somehow or another, you just know how to hit them little buttons. Some of you text by doing that swiping text and stuff, just like this. And it comes out correctly. And I'm like, wow, just amazed by it. It made me feel inadequate for a lot of years until I put this mess together this morning. I thank the Lord that I'm slow at texting and have learned how to communicate over the years by spending time with the Lord. Amen. The word acquit here means to free someone from a criminal charge by a verdict of not guilty. Here, one of the quotes I pulled was, our increasing preference for texting over phone calls or speaking to someone in person, this is the pro, it creates a higher quantity of interactions. Through the form of texting, you can reach a lot of people. In other states, I mean, you can group text 10, 20 people in 5 seconds, boop, to get your thoughts, what you want to communicate fast. And though it might create a higher quantity of interactions, because everything's getting faster and faster and faster in the day we're living in right now. But the negative to that is, but it decreases their quality. The message you're sending, that you're communicating, the quality of it is decreased. And the bigger picture is that it harms our relationships with people. Have you ever, I do it, I'll put something, I'm giving away one of my hidden truths, I'll put like somebody texts me a long old text. I mean a paragraph. And I'll put amen with some praying hands, the emoji or whatever. And I put amen, little emoji, what do you call those guys? Emojis. I put amen, emojis. That takes me about a minute to put that out. Amen? And within one word, a holy word, that says so be it, that means so be it, and some praying hands next to it, I communicate something quick because I got something to do. I'm doing something. And you might get my text that, oh, Pastor said amen with some praying hands. He's thinking about me. He was being real sensitive. No, I wasn't. So you guys have figured me out now. It's just sometimes I get paragraph texts from people where I almost feel obligated that I got to text back a paragraph to show that I'm concerned with the paragraph you text me. I'd rather put amen and some praying hands and I'll talk to you later. Some of you might text somebody back and say, okay. And you really don't mean okay. It's like hanging up the phone. It's like going on to the next page. In a text, you might send what are the emojis? Emoji, a smiling face. You send emoji of a smiling face, but you ain't smiling. You got the other face that's angry, mad, and you send a smiley face. The one that has tears coming out, that emoji. I like sending the emoji of the smiling face with a little halo on top. That's the one I send. I'm a pastor. It looks spiritual. It's nice. It's thoughtful. It's considerate. So now when you get that amen with some praying hands, is the pastor thinking about me or is he in a rush? Quote, you can have brilliant ideas, because we all have them. How many have ever had a good idea before? You can have brilliant ideas, but if you can't bring them across, if you can't communicate your brilliant ideas, amen, Your great ideas won't get you anywhere or anyone else. Have you ever said or heard someone say, oh, every time I need to say it's real important, it comes out wrong. I didn't mean it like the way I said it. Oh, yes, you did. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That out of the abundance, it means out of the overflow of the heart, always got something to say, whether it's positive or not. Out of the abundance of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's important what we say unto the Lord. Every word is important. It's important. It's important. Here's a few scriptures on the words we speak, the importance of them. Proverbs 15:1. The Bible reads, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Tempers mean both get mad. Not temper, but tempers flare. Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Have you ever been on a high, doing really good, everything's going great, and then somebody says something that just kills your high, crushes your spirit? You were doing so great that day. Everything, you were so grateful to the Lord. You were going back in time and how good He has been and will be forevermore. And all of a sudden, you get a call, a text, somebody knocks at the door and tells you something off the wall that just ruins all the good thoughts, the flow, the momentum that you were on by somebody saying something that just crushes your spirit. In other words, you were in spirit before they spoke to you, and after they crushed your spirit, you were in the flesh. Tempers are flaring. There's a fight. Proverbs 16:24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy. I want you to remember that, the word healthy. And healthy for the body. And healthy for the body. I put in my notes here, too many times the words we speak tear people down to the point of becoming unhealthy. They're not just now speaking to you unhealthy. If it continues and continues, that person can become physically unhealthy. I believe a lot of the sin and the problems of the world of communication was our upbringing. A lot of things were said to us. Not all of us had Christian mom and dads and so forth. And I believe many were bombarded as little babies, told to shut up, pap, pap, pap. I see it all the time here in Milwaukee. I'm like, ooh. Little infants. And mom is going to town on that little baby. At the shopping center, in a line, at the mall, at the gas station, wherever it is, and the words coming out of this mother are so degrading, are so harmful to the health and the growth of that child. I thank the Lord that we have a Heavenly Father that is able to clear up something of that nature that maybe has taken place in your life, those viewing through Facebook where you were brought up like that. It was a tough upbringing. I used to get it, but through a belt, amen? It was clean. My dad was clean about it. He put me through the wall with a belt whooping, amen? At school back in, and I'm 58 years old. Back in elementary, they would spank you. We called them links or a paddle. It was a board that they would give you licks, give you paddles with, that would leave welches and everything on you. In junior high, they would give you the paddles. The principal, it was a bat cut in half at the end, and they would bang, bang, three of them. Big old welches for days. It was legal back in the days. Now you can't even look at your kids wrong. They'll call the cops on you. Call the cops. It was a form of correction, a form of when the communication didn't work, they would resort to the, we called them licks, the paddle. Having a true relationship with Jesus is able. The Bible speaks of many attributes of the person of the Holy Spirit, but three I want to just touch on is one of the attributes of the person of the Holy Spirit is that he is a counselor. Amen? Having a true relationship with the Lord, the person of the Holy Spirit is able to come in and counsel you. When you get saved, if you had a bad upbringing and were spoken to very incorrectly, where it has you mentally all messed up of what was told to you as a child, year after year after year. You, by the time you get to school, you think you're no good, you can't do nothing right, and it's not even worth living anymore. Having a true relationship with the Lord, another attribute of the person of the Holy Spirit is that he is a teacher. That when you spend time with the Lord, when you communicate and spend time with the Lord, he's able to teach you how to speak, how to communicate correctly, slowly but surely. I have 23 years now walking and operating with the Lord now, and even as I came to this city, and we found out earlier this morning, 2003, amen, I didn't have the right words when I came here, even though I had the title as the pastor. I was saying everything but the right things. I wasn't there yet, and it was that I had the right words and purposely was saying the wrong things. I just didn't have the right words yet. I was all messed up. But I was a faithful, messed up person, amen, that was willing to do what my pastor called me to do, that was willing to step out by faith. And even though I wasn't the communicator yet, because I've spent 23 years now with the Lord, I'm able to communicate what he wants for your life, my life, this city, the region, internationally, amen. But somebody needs to communicate here this day a little bit better. I opened it up with, that means all of us, because our teacher, our counselor is the Lord, so we can always grow to become better in the area of our communication skills. And the third attribute of the person of the Holy Spirit is that he is a physician, a healer, amen? He is a physician, a doctor. And I believe many adults here today need not only to be counseled in how to speak correctly, to communicate correctly. I believe many adults here this day not only need to be taught by the person of the Holy Spirit correctly to be able to communicate correctly, but because of all the years of the bringing up incorrectly, amen, I believe here this day that the many, many years of poor communication that came your way, that because of that, we need also a physician. We need healing from all the negative things that were spoken over our life when we were still yet innocent babies. Negative things were being spoken over our life. Mom and dad were duking it out in the back room. They were fighting. They were getting high. They were getting drunk. They were saying anything and everything with no concern for a baby in the house. So I believe here this day that a lot of healing is needed. Not just counseling and a teacher and how to communicate, but healing needs to take place as well. And that's why it's very important that we spend time with the Lord. We can be ghetto fabulous in our communication, and by being consistent in spending time with the Lord on a daily basis, every day, speaking to Jesus, every day, speaking to Jesus, all of a sudden, you start changing up the way you're not cussing no more. You're about to cuss, oh, I'm sorry. You start saying, using the word sorry when there was a time outside of Christ, you never said sorry for cussing. But now, since you're saved and the person of the Holy Spirit's at work in your life, all of a sudden, by spending time with the Lord, you start becoming convicted of the way you speak. All of a sudden, now as a Christian, it no longer fits. It's no longer cool by using the F word every other word. It's no longer a turn-on, it's now become a turn-off. Before, we used to cuss and it would turn her on or turn him on. Say, look at him, I want to get with him. I got to get with her. I love that filthy mouth. We were messed up. Oh, I just love the way he cusses and talks. Woo, woo. But when we get in Christ, it no longer fits. It no longer fits as a son of God and as a daughter of the Lord. It's now when you cuss, everybody looks at you like, get the rope. It's important that we spend time with the Lord. He'll counsel us. And our time with the Lord, He counsels us. He's a counselor. But you got to want counseling. You got to say, Lord, I need counseling. I try to act like I got it all together in front of her or him or them or the pastor, the leadership. But the truth is, God, you know I need counseling. And I don't want counseling from them. I need counseling. I need to hear it from you, God. Well, you got to spend time with Him then. It's important. It's important that we be counseled on a daily basis, that we be teachable to the person and the teacher of the Holy Spirit, that our lives can be teachable and correctable, that we get better and better in our communication and the things we say. And in the midst, as we're being counseled and being taught by the person, none other but of the Holy Spirit, we receive healing. We receive healing. Healing starts coming in and changing our hearts, changing the way we think, changing the way we speak. You need to spend time with the Lord. And if you're taking notes, take this note. My note says you can't text Jesus. I don't care how fast you text. You can't text Jesus. He's not in the texting thing. Even though it's an increasing statistic says that every day on the norm, people text 80 times a day. Text 80 times a day. I don't care if you text the Lord 1,000 times a day. I promise you, your phone is not going to get a text from the Lord. I don't care how smart it is. I don't care if you little emojis up there with the sad ones crying, you're crying. Little emojis, and you send a little crying emojis to the Lord. He ain't even going to give you an amen or some praying hands. I'll give you that. But the Lord, he ain't going to give you some praying hands. He ain't going to give you emoji. And they're making more emojis and better ones, ones that move now and do all. He ain't going to respond to any of those either. Because he's listening to every word we speak. What he responds to is words, whether they're negative or positive, is what the Lord wants to respond to. What he wants to counsel. You can't counsel a smartphone. You can't teach a smartphone, but it will counsel you. It will teach you. It will put you in need of a healer, of a physician. Communication. I put here, you can't text Jesus. I also put, if you're thinking, well, I'll email him. You can't email Jesus either. I even got a third one. As smart as your phone is, you can't even call him on your smartphone. You can't. I don't care if you got the latest Apple phone, whatever, iPhone out right now, the fastest one. You cannot call Jesus on that phone. All you got to do is put the phone down and speak to him. But when you talk to a device to talk to the Creator, it ain't going to work. I put here, he wants personal communication with you. He wants personal one-on-one time with you so that he can counsel you, so that he can teach you, so that he can heal you of past communication, present communication, and future communications that are going to come to your life and go from your life to somebody else's life. In Matthew 12, 36 and 27, I opened up with this verse. Jesus speaking once again, I tell you this. That's not a text. That's his word. That's his word. Amen. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. So the Lord ain't really, I got a thought. So the Lord ain't really concerned on how you start to speak to him, but he's concerned how you finish on judgment day, how you finish. Whether you grew in your communication skills or you didn't grow, it's one thing not being able to grow in our communication skills outside of Christ, but to remain at the same place within your communication skills, having the Father, amen, the great physician, the counselor, amen, the teacher of teachers, and still remaining at the same place. Upon judgment day, you're going to be held accountable. Because we all, like I said in the beginning, we all start off bad in Christianity in how we speak. But to finish bad, after being accountable and knowing his word, the Bible says the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. We learn the meaning of acquit, amen. Is to be set free, amen, not guilty. But let's go to the word condemn. The word condemn as the way it's being used here in this scripture. And the meaning for the word condemn is sentenced to a particular punishment, especially death. Have you ever heard that the prisoner ended up being condemned to death. Amen. So the meaning of the word condemn is sentenced to a particular punishment. I mean, there's many things that we can be condemned of. Beyond addiction, alcohol, the opposite sex. There's many things that we can be condemned of, but the particular sentence or particular punishment that we're speaking about this morning is on what we say. On what we say. Now, you know, nowadays you watch TV, Facebook, whatever, and there's guys now that just cuss the cops out from A to Z. The cops don't do nothing no more. It's not a felony. It's not a misdemeanor. That respect is because of all the things that have happened, the good and the bad. People can now talk to an officer however they want to. It's not a crime. But here, according to the word, being condemned means sentenced to a particular punishment. And the one the Lord is speaking about, amen, is the words we speak. Are they going to acquit us or condemn us upon judgment day? It's important here this day. For speaking, I put it incorrectly, really matters to God. Really matters to God. I put here, it's all about the heart. It's all about the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? Another scripture says something, I don't have it on the paper, but, you know, there's power in the tongue of life and death. It's important what we speak. Because it's all really about the heart. When you communicate with Jesus, words are not even needed. It was heavy this morning. I'm in prayer. And I'm asking the Lord to speak through me, to communicate correctly, with clarity, for everybody to understand how important the words we speak are. How important the words somebody else speaks to us are, and how powerful they are to either acquit us, to set us free, or to condemn us. It's important. In the beginning of my salvation in the rehab, directing the rehab for many years, more than Pastor Felipe did, I was one of the loudest prayers in Salinas, California. Oh, God, tongues, I would yell every day, the top of my lungs. God needed to hear me. And I wish Pastor Herb would have said, told me a long time ago, but many years later, he tells me God ain't deaf. I was like, dang it. Here I've been yelling all these years, losing my voice. My little son gets it from me. I would be up there with him, but because I yelled for so many years. All of my salvation, the beginning up to 10, 12 years of it, I was audible calling out to the Lord, help me, help me, help me. An ex-heroin addict, many years in prison, OD'd 15 times, been there, done that. I was a poor communicator. I couldn't even speak life to my very own life, more or less somebody else's life. And I would speak, but this morning, now, for the last, I don't know, 8-10 years, I'm more now silent when I pray. Amen. Because what the Lord is really looking at here this morning is not so much what you audibly say, but what your heart is saying. He's really, you see, your words might impress somebody else, but words do not impress the Lord. Words do not impress the Lord. It might impress her the way you've been speaking lately, with that alternative motive within you, or the way you've been speaking next to him with an alternative motive. See, words got power. Not only if they're being said the wrong way, but even if said the right way. Because how many have heard people say things the right way, but what they're really wanting to do is what's in the heart. And I found myself giving you just some personal TMI stuff. Amen? I found myself praying to the Lord this morning, and even though I wasn't audible, I knew everything I was praying to him from my heart. I knew everything I was saying to the Lord without opening my mouth, because my heart was communicating to the Lord on the behalf of you all listening to this message. And I was like shocked, because I was speaking on communication. I was open to this revelation that he gave me. As I was praying to him about communication, I'm saying 1,000 words, but they're all coming from my heart. And even though I could not hear the pronunciation of my words, my heart was hearing everything I was saying to the Lord. Let's do a little test run right now. These are things I think about when I'm praying. I want you to say from your heart, I want you to say, Jesus, I love you. Let's try that again for those that are awake. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I love you. Okay. If you said it, you heard yourself say that. You even heard everyone else say that. Amen. You heard yourself say, Jesus, I love you, and everyone else heard also, not just yourself. Now, I want you to say the same words when I ask you to say, Jesus, I love you, but I want you to say it from your heart. Amen? I'm going to count to three. I want you to say, Jesus, I love you, but from your heart. Ready? 1, 2, 3. You guys, that's why you didn't pass high school. From your heart. From your heart. This time we're not audible. The first time, everybody heard. That's why communication is very important, guys. Oh, I misunderstood you, Pastor. Okay, that's why we're going to try it again one more time. And if your phone shows up with an amen with praying hands, it's from me. Amen? The first time we did it audibly, Jesus, I love you. Amen? Amen? We all heard it. This time, which is the third time, not the second time, we're not going to say it audibly. Audibly simply means we're not going to speak. We're just going to say it from our heart. Saying it from your heart, people, means your mouth don't move on this one. Amen? It don't open on this one. We're on Facebook right now. If somebody says it audibly, the camera's going to spin around and you're going to be on Facebook for everybody to know who said, Jesus, I love you audibly instead of from the heart. Is the camera person ready? I mean it. So I'm going to count to three audibly. That means out loud. Amen. I'm going to count to three, and I want you to say, Jesus, I love you from your heart. There shouldn't be a noise in the church. No, nothing. 1, 2, 3. And we're going to do it again, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to be able to hear what you're saying from the heart to the Lord. I want you to hear what you're saying from your heart. 1, 2, 3. As I was praying to the Lord, Everything I was saying without being audible, without speaking out loud, I was able to hear from my heart everything I was telling the Lord, and it was all sincere because I was able to hear it. And if I was able to hear the communication of my own heart with my own ears without speaking, how much more can the Lord hear the words of your heart without having to say nothing? See, I really believe that He's going to judge every word that we say from our heart. From our heart. Because it's easy to say the right words being a Christian now, or because you got a boss and you don't want to get fired, or you got a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and you want to say the right things. But there's really something else taking place in the heart that only the person of the Holy Spirit can counsel, can teach, and heal. And I believe too many times we're saying one thing, but in our heart, something different is being said. And I know the scripture says the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. But how many have ever said the right words and be dead guilty? Because what was really being spoken in your heart was not what you were saying from your mouth. Amen? And God knows. You may be able to hide it from me for a season, but God knows when you pray, whether you're audible or you're praying from your heart, He knows if you're being sincere or not. He knows. And if you do the test every day that I just gave you about listening, when you pray from your heart, you will know before you even speak from your heart if you mean it or not. You just stop. Because God's so heavy that the Bible says that He knows our thoughts before we even think them. So if He knows our thoughts before we even think them, if He knows what we're going to say before we even say it, communication is important then. Have you ever tried to convey something to somebody? I'm keeping me and my wife out of this one, amen, because we just had one yesterday, amen. She said, go ahead. She said, go ahead. She said, go ahead. She said, go ahead. And I will. Got time? Yep, sure do. I sure do. So let you know that my wife and I are real. We're real people. Amen. Called the senior pastors of Victor Outreach, Milwaukee. But we got hearts also. And the Wizard of Oz was the one that didn't have a heart, needed a heart. The Scarecrow. We're not scarecrows. We got hearts. The Tin Man. Get it right then. That was Patricia. She's retired. She's got the right answer. So if you know that the Tin Man needed a heart, what did the... What did the Scarecrow need? Brain. A brain. And the other, the lion, need a courage. I was trying to speak something to my wife yesterday, and she didn't want to hear it. She goes, I don't need a Bible study. Give your Bible study to somebody else. I don't need a Bible study. I said, oh, really? I says, love, but what I have to tell you is important. I don't need a Bible study. I've heard your Bible studies before. You're going to take me all the way around. You're going to take me all the way. Just tell me what you want to tell me. And if you know me, when I counsel, I take you all the way around. I'll spend a long time just to give you that plane landing, Holy Ghost, 2 minutes that you needed. I'll break it all down, and she knows me. She's been married to me for 23 years. I break it down. And you're going to have to listen. I break it down. I care enough to break it down. But in this particular, she goes, I don't want to hear it. No. So she goes to do her little stretching, and I went to her stretching place. I said, but you're going to hear me. Because it's important what I have to say. And she goes, nope, ain't happening, not today. Just want to have a good day. Can I have a good day? She gets up, true story. Then she goes to the bathroom, right? I'm still talking. I'm following around the house, right? She goes to the bathroom. Where did I go? To the bathroom. So I said, love, you're going to hear me. So now she's sitting down while I'm talking to her. And I'm okay with that. She was at the bathroom. So I start saying, love, it's important, and I ain't letting up. You got to let me take you all the way around to communicate to you a revelation. We have a fireplace, right, that has two sides to it. I said, you see this side of the fireplace, but I want to show you what's on the other side of the fireplace that you can't see, but God showed me. It's not my Bible study. It's God's Bible study. So through persistence, her voice went up and down, yelling, coming up and down, and I kept my cool. Tell your neighbor, Pastor kept his cool. I kept my cool, and at the end, I was like the persistent widow. She was like the bad judge. She's, all right, go ahead. So she goes to the sofa. I sit where I usually pray from, and I start telling her and taking her all around the world to communicate a simple truth that she did not have. She's my wife. It's important. And as she allowed me to speak, and I allowed her to speak, she always says, I don't give her a turn to speak. How would she ever think that? Would you believe that? Some of you say, yeah, Pastor. Mm-mm. It used to be like that. And in that, she allowed me to speak. She received it. And then we both walked away happy with understanding. We got the dog. We walked around the land, our property. We were holding hands. Woo! But it's because she allowed me to communicate on a subject that relates to all subjects. To all subjects. We went around. We ate. She took off with Elias. And she had a better day because she allowed me to take her all around the world in one of my famous counseling sessions to give a revelation, something that is not able to be seen. Because it can't, or believe, because it can't be seen. And we had a great day. She was being nice to me. I was being nice to her. But it takes two to tangle. One got to keep its cool and be persistent. Because the number one thing the enemy does not want is us, the Christian, the sons and daughters of the Lord, to have good communication skills. Which represents not only being able to say the right thing at the right time, but being able to say the right thing at the right time under pressure. When you're being yelled at, ridiculed, judged, spoken to incorrectly, and you keep your cool. Your boss is saying this and this, he's coming crooked. He's coming sideways, he's on the down low, and you keep your cool. Because it takes two to tangle. My dad always says, two wrongs don't make a right. And the reason people fight is someone says something wrong and the other person shoots something back wrong also. As if that's going to fix the problem, it's just going to make it worse. It's going to intensify it. It's called poor communication skills. Two wrongs don't make a right. I could have told my wife that they will skip you. I didn't want to take you around the world anyhow. I know I'm going to get 4 or 5 calls today, and someone else is going to listen to me on the phone, one of my counseling sessions, and allow me to take them all around the world to give a revelation. But too many times when it matters most, we shut people down. I don't want to talk. What part don't you recognize? I always say sometimes the best word said is no words at all. But when there's a fight jumping off, you got something to say all the time. We all need healing from this area of becoming better communicators, having better communication skills. We all need to grow in this area. And someone is saying right now in their heart, in their mind, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I ain't that bad. I don't need counseling. I don't need to be taught this area. I don't need no healing. That's for the people that are all messed up. On a good day, you need counseling in the world we're living in, teaching and healing. So here this day, amen. I said, because all is about the heart. When you communicate with Jesus, words are not even needed, because he's really after heart communication. You can't impress God with words. But he's looking at our heart here this day as the worship team makes their way here this day. He's looking at our heart. And each and every one of us wish something could be different within our lives right now. Whether it's in a marriage right now, or something could be different within one of your children right now. You're speaking and speaking and speaking, but nothing good is coming forth from it. I would challenge you, parent, to spend time with the Lord. Start speaking to the Lord. Be audible if you have to. Come to him. If there's people in the house, if your daughter's sitting right next to you or your son, you can still speak to the Lord from the heart and tell him what you need done. We may not be the best communicators, but when you communicate to Jesus, him being the Father, it is perfect communication when we talk to the Father. It is perfect communication when we allow him to counsel us and to teach us and to heal us. It's a perfection. It's what we all need as we stand this Sunday morning. Allow me to be a better speaker. I do, because I'm a preacher. There's a reason I've been doing it for many years, because I speak. I'm a pastor. I'm a counselor. I teach. So it's a prayer, that a regular prayer of mine, that I speak to the Lord all the time. Because when he called me, I was a poor communicator. Poor communicator. But you might be a mom here this day, a dad here this day, a son, a daughter, and you may think it's not that important, that there's other things that are more important than communicating correctly. And you're trying to work out other things in your life. Oh, I want to let you know that communication unto the Lord is priority here this day and every day. Spending time with Jesus is a priority. Speaking to the Lord on a daily basis is a priority amongst everything else that we see as important. Spending time. He's not looking for a text, an email, a phone call. He wants personal time with you. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. I'm going to open up the altars, and your prayer needs to be, Lord, help me with the condition of my heart.
is not really the words I'm saying where the problem is at, but the root of my communication is in my heart. It's in my heart. It's in my heart where I fall short in the things I say, in the things I think of. I fall short in my heart. I know how to speak correctly when I need to at the job site. I need to say, I know what to say correctly when it's the pastor I'm talking to. Oh, it's not about what you say. The root of poor communication lies in the heart of man, in the heart of the woman. Pray unto the Lord here this day. Give me a pure heart, a good heart, for I can communicate to you, my Lord, for I can communicate to my spouse correctly with the patience, for I can communicate with my children with the patience. Give me that communication, Lord. I want to be able to communicate from my heart, not just by what I've learned or what I've been counseled over. But when I minister to the lost and the bound, I wanted to be able to communicate to them from my heart. Heart-to-heart communication. That's what the Lord is looking for this morning. You don't have to say nothing. He knows what you mean from your heart here this morning. I believe some need to give their heart to the Lord right now. You've given your life, but have you given your heart to the Lord? He wants your heart. He wants your heart here this day. He doesn't really want to work with your tongue. He wants to work with your heart. He's able to purify it, to cleanse it, to wash it. He's able to deposit His word to go forth in power, in authority. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Tell Him, Jesus, I want to say the right things. I want to have the right things in my heart. Test my heart. As David said, look into my heart here this day. And if you find anything wrong, Lord, remove it. Cleanse me. Cleanse me, Lord. I want to be a speaker of the heart. I want to be a speaker of the heart. I want to learn how to speak to you from my heart, Lord. Oh, I want my words to count. I want my words to make a difference. Oh, speak to the Lord right there from your heart. Speak to the Lord right there from your heart. One and one, just you and the Lord, just you and the Lord.
And my soul.